Going to be reading Titus 3, 1 through 11. I'm reading from the NIV. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful. They are self-condemned. Can we pray? So, Father God, we thank you for your word and the host of witnesses throughout the centuries who have preserved your word and through whom you have expanded your church and your kingdom on earth. This morning, I just humbly set myself before you and ask that you would reveal to us, your will and your heart. And even as I speak, that you would control my tongue, that my tongue might not stray from your path and your will. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. So, I've been going back and forth between, Korea a lot, and when I'm there, I talked with a bunch of people, but including some of whom are PKs, which I understand in Cantonese might not be the most flattering word, but it's PK as in pastor kids, and pastors of Korean churches, and they were telling me about how, pastors are very careful, and that's probably true wherever you go, but particularly in Korea, not to reveal too much about their private lives or talk about their private lives too much, not because they have anything to hide necessarily, but because the church in Korea loves to gossip. And people love to kind of try to find, things to point fingers at or problems with their pastors or their leadership. Now, I think kind of, quite frankly, for me, that was a little bit surprising because, my initial thought was, at SP, we're a pretty small church, we're a small community, we share a lot, we're pretty open with each other, and it would just be kind of horrific if you thought that, that was what was going on at your church where you should be, if anything, compared to the outside world, you should feel safe, and it's your haven and stuff. And I was thinking, this letter from Titus, or from Paul to Titus, rather, and other letters might be kind of a useful guidepost. Now, if you think about it, the letters that Paul wrote to the various churches, oftentimes you kind of have to differentiate situations, because some of them are very situation specific to a problem that a particular church was facing. So this letter to Titus, he was a Gentile that had traveled with Paul, and at this particular time he was living on the island of Crete in Greece, and Paul had left him there to kind of, found new churches in Crete. While he was traveling, as he was going through Ephesus, presumably with Timothy, and then as he traveled further on, they had experienced kind of some problems in Ephesus. And so he wrote his first letter to Timothy, which we now know as 1 Timothy. And it has some similar themes to Titus. So presumably, according to scholars, after he had written this letter, he had written this particular letter to Titus. And, you know, so it talks about a bunch of things, but I kind of wanted to focus on verse 2, where it says, remind the people to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. Later on in the passage we read, it also talks about avoiding foolish controversies, genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn them a second time, and so on. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful. They are self-condemned. So, again, letters were written in particular contexts, and then I was thinking, like, you know, is this relative to us? Does this have any bearing on our community? And, you know, as I was sitting there thinking about it, it definitely does, actually. This definitely applies to Solomon's Porch. And this is why. So when you talk with people, and particularly with other, you know, members of our church community, or it doesn't even have to be that. It can be, like, in your work community or wherever. Just think about how much of your conversations, the topically, are, you know, involve other people. Other people within our church, or, you know, I personally will admit and confess that I'm guilty of this as well. You know, whether it's at a dinner conversation or a lunch conversation, or oftentimes, you know, we'll be talking about, hey, did you notice this thing about this person? Or, hey, did you, you know, sometimes it'll be complaining about, like, workplace incidents, but that's also complaining about people. It's not necessarily about something that happened. It's about that person or the way that person treated you. Or, you know, I think secondhand, I've heard of a lot of, I'll say a good number of questions about, you know, whether or not this person is living a godly life or not, or it's like, really? Are we kind of putting ourselves in those shoes? But again, this is not a problem that's unique to the Korean church. It's not a problem unique to Solomon's Porch. It's such a big problem that, you know, Paul wrote about it to Titus. Paul wrote about it to Timothy. Paul wrote it to the Ephesians. And this is like the very early church. So the church, the Acts church that we often talk about in glowing terms about how, you know, they shared everything and nobody lacked anything and everyone was in good community. Well, this letter was written, 1 Timothy was written, 12 years or so after the founding of the church is in Ephesus. And this letter to Titus about the same time. So this very early church that we sometimes tend to idolize, that we sometimes look up to, had these problems. And if you look at some of Paul's other letters, he'll often end it with kind of this, you can call it an admonition or exhortation to, you know, watch about what you talk about. And this predates Jesus too, by the way. This goes way back. Like, there are dozens of verses in Proverbs and Psalms talking about, you know, guarding your tongue, how, you know, the tongue produces evil and division and you know, in Korean, I think kind of a similar word to sarcasm, the Korean equivalent, it's not exactly a translation, but it's toksol, which means poisonous tongue. If you think about kind of our daily lives and kind of what we face and our struggles even, a lot of it has to deal with communication, whether through, you know, spoken word or emails or whatnot, and how that's perceived, how we perceive it, how the other person perceives it. Kind of in that context, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today. And before, you know, we look at other places, I always like to bring it back to Jesus. So what does Jesus say about this? In Matthew 12, 33 through 37, it says, and this is quoting red letter, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. So that's, it's pretty heavy. Once again, just kind of reminding us that, like, words have weight, words have power. I think in a spiritual context, we often think about, the fiat word and kind of words, at the well when we speak healing words. We actually believe that people will get physically healed. Well, it can also have the opposite effect. You can curse somebody, both spiritually, but also just at an emotional level. People can get hurt. And I'll later kind of give you a couple of examples where you actually have, from a very kind of practical perspective, tangible problems that come out of words. But just a reminder, so God, Jesus talks about, a tree and its fruit. And in Paul's letters as well, I think the pinnacle verses on your words and your tongue are actually, it's probably James 3, 1 through 12. That's what scholars point to a lot. We went with a different passage today, but I encourage you to, if you feel something today, maybe go back and read through James 3, 1 through 12 later on as well. But there he talks about kind of, not just trees and fruits, but also springs and waters and stuff. And remember that, that Jesus had also told us that we're meant to be kind of embodiments and wellsprings of his living water, right? And so, living water presumably gives life and it gives affirmation. So in that context, just kind of sharing a couple of things that kind of result from negative words. So one of my friends this past week was actually sharing a story about an email that the person wrote to his boss, and he was basically complaining about this particular client of theirs. Now, this person is in the finance industry, and he was complaining about kind of one of their clients asking him to do kind of a lot of like menial tasks that they weren't necessarily getting paid for, but it's kind of as a favor. Hey, can you run this analysis? Can you run the data this way? Can you translate this? And all this stuff. And the person was changing his mind like every 2 hours. And so they had to redo it. And this person was writing a letter to his boss and said, this person is really annoying. He just keeps on changing his mind. He's not professional at all. It was just, kind of a vitriol email complaining about this client of theirs. And in that moment, I think, and one of the reasons why we do kind of, talk in that way is because in that moment, it actually makes us feel good. It's like lessening a burden of ours. Kind of you share your pains with others and the burden is lighter and stuff. So that would have been okay, except that email didn't go to the boss, it went to the client that this person was talking about. And immediately, it's like your world kind of falls apart and you're kind of sitting there. Now that burden is like 10 times heavier and you're just waiting to see how this person will react. Not fortunately, the person actually wrote back copying kind of everyone in that group, telling this person that, that was very inappropriate to send that email. We are your client, yada, yada, yada. Again, this person was kind of, got a light slap on the wrist from his boss, kind of saying, that happens sometimes, you understand. And that could have been it. That actually could have been it. This particular person, did pray about it, kind of repented, sent an email, kind of a genuine heartfelt email, look, I really do apologize, it wasn't really about you, it was about me and kind of my heart at that time, my frustrations and everything. And that was like earlier on in this week. Yesterday, I hear from this friend saying that the client wrote back and said, I totally understand, I've been in your position before as well. Look, there's no hard feelings at all, let's go grab a drink sometime. you know, I'll be more careful in the future about asking you to do all these menial tasks. And for the past 2 days, this person hasn't been tasked with all these menial tasks. So it worked out nice. But the key step there was that this person, reached out and shared that apology, this sincere apology. Now that's kind of an example kind of from our business world. But I was hearing from another friend, this one's a little bit heavier, the other day, whose father passed away. It wasn't a recent death, it was a couple years ago. But the friend was recounting how, kind of all the missed opportunities they had, that they didn't have, get to enjoy with their father. But in particular, he was talking about how their last conversation wasn't really a conversation because the father passed away rather suddenly, and so he didn't see it coming. But basically, it was kind of an accusatory conversation about like how his dad had been trying to, control his life and. That he didn't really want to have anything to do with his father and they had these fallouts before and they always made up, but this particular time he didn't have that opportunity because his father was in an accident so his last words with his dad was kind of like, I don't want to have anything to do with you, and the power that those words have, they didn't, I highly doubt that they caused the accident to happen, but the power of those words on this person's life, and maybe he needs some inner healing as well, but he lives with this, constantly thinking about this, pretty much for the rest of his life. Now, one other example that I guess I take from in an encouraging way, our society that is not very faith-based, there's one element where you put a lot of faith into something, and I'm speaking primarily of like kind of the U.S., but here as well. So in the U.S., oftentimes when you're at a trial, when you're on the witness stand, they will ask you to raise your right hand and swear that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, right? Now, sometimes that will be done in the context of a murder trial or a homicide, and I'm not necessarily going to talk about like the rights or wrongs of the death penalty and whatnot, but history shows that there have been many occasions where people have been wrongly convicted based on. Primarily based on the testimonies of, witnesses. I guess I'm just going to leave you with that one last example of, how words can have real consequences in this world in a very physical sense as well as in a spiritual sense. But so what should we do about it then, I think it's pretty elementary that we all know that we're not supposed to be, gossips or, speak divisively or speak kind of, harmfully or whatnot. But then in a community like ours where we are pretty tight-knit, right? We're pretty tight-knit. And I do think that speaking about or two others, one element is because we care, right? If we didn't, then, you could go live your life, I'll go live my life, we'll just be in our own little bubbles. But we care, so oftentimes one of the topics we talk about are things that you care about. So you will talk about your friends and your neighbors and your community. So I think one way we can do this is by walking in the opposite spirit, in basically, if you find yourself in a situation where you think you might be start to go down that path about saying something negative about somebody, maybe think about something positive about that person. This is not something that we do necessarily. I think good things, good attributes of others, we kind of take for granted. We're not necessarily trained in this society to kind of find the positive in others. you kind of go, that's positive is status quo. I mean, good. We're all good little Christians here, so we should be positive, right? And then, you know, whenever you find something negative, that's the things that you talk about. Well, no, we're all broken people. Everybody needs God. We're all sinners, right? So when you find something positive about somebody, maybe we can talk about that. So as a parting note, and I know this is kind of weird for my morning devotion, I was kind of thinking about this, and thinking about it particularly within this church. You know, there's a lot of ministries. A lot of people are involved in a lot of different ministries. And some of them are more visible than others. You know, like the Well, after every service, you'll see people up here. I think kind of IP, you'll hear about it a lot. Worship ministry, amazing, right? They serve all the time. MOP, you don't see them all the time, but nowadays at least we do give them mention and we do think about them a lot. But there's also a lot of other ministries, right? Like the, which I kind of just wanted to note on some people, right? You know, Noah's Ark, the Sunday school. We just noticed this last Sunday, you know, like, I don't know if everybody knows Poram, but like Poram, I think she's been serving with Noah's Ark pretty much since the beginning for like almost like 10 years or, yeah, it's like, wow, you know. Just kind of people serving in the background, not putting themselves out forward, but that's amazing commitment. Like, I was at Noah's Ark for like a year now, and I'm like kind of tired. But, you know, barista ministry, the coffee folks back there. Yeah, you see them all the time. You get a coffee from them. But, like, do we know them? Jackson, he is actually professionally trained. Like, if you get a really good cup of coffee with, like, a cute picture on the top, that's probably from him. You know, St. Barnabas. St. Barnabas is kind of like, it's a homeless shelter. It's not necessarily homeless, but like it serves kind of the underprivileged out in Shangwan. And James Chia, he goes there on a very, I mean, there are others as well, but I just wanted to kind of highlight, you know, some folks who you might not necessarily know or realize. And James goes there like all the time. Everybody there loves him. You know, whenever a group from SP goes, he's kind of the conduit because they all know him. Did you know we have a prison ministry? We have a prison ministry. Tim Tang leads up the prison ministry, and with a group of other people, you know, they go and, especially with like our Spanish speakers, they really kind of share kind of God's identity and His love with you know, those who are bound up. Phoebe ministry, you know, Phoebe. It's not Phoebe. It's Phoebe. The Phoebe ministry, there's a group of people who, at least on this aspect of it, go teach English to a lot of our, you know, Indonesian sisters on Sunday afternoons after church, after a long day. They'll go around like 5 o'clock and teach, right? And so, just you know, these things that like you might not necessarily notice, like take that extra effort, go out, notice someone who's you know, doing good, and it's not a bad thing to do good. Yes, we are. It's not about our works, but it is also a good thing to do good. I think people often say that the way Paul looked at it, like a genuine grace encounter will lead you to do good. It's not about like keeping laws or anything. But yeah, so with that, I guess that's all I wanted to share. And maybe before we go into our community prayer, I'll just close us with a quick little prayer. So, Father God, we just ask that that we might have your eyes and your heart, and that we would be able to see the good in others, particularly our brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would be able to share those words, a word of encouragement. You know, especially because you never know when, you know, someone might be fatigued or tired or just really needs that extra charge, Father God. And you know, you are the vine and we are the branches and we need to stay connected to you. But Father God, would you help us, you know, would you help us here right now to also not only be connected with you ourselves, but to help connect others with you, Father God? Ultimately, we recognize that we can't do this out of our own strength. It is not in our nature, Father God. So, you know, as a community, as we kind of take on this task of speaking good, speaking truth, speaking confirmation into people's lives, we do say so with the words, "So help us, God." And let us just do everything in partnership with you, in obedience to you, and following your example. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Okay.
Great. And so today is Friday. I guess we're going to start praying for our ministries first. So as you can see on the board, local ministries for Friday, we talk about our local churches, YWAM, various different ministries, with Sports Services International, Shanti. They finished up a good vacation Bible school last week. Masters Beauty, Red Light District Outreach, which we partner with a lot, face-to-face. Feed the Hungry, Christian Solidarity Worldwide. We just spend a few minutes praying for the local church and local ministries in Hong Kong. If we could pray for the missions committee, those are the folks that are listed on the slide. I believe they have a missions committee meeting coming up pretty soon. Yeah, the missions committee will be meeting this Sunday, so I just pray for a good, fruitful conversation there. If we could pray for SP's own local outreach ministries, some of which I just mentioned, the community center in Cheongwon, the Igape ministry, our homies ministry for the taking care of the homeless, SP Lights, and the prison ministry. Just pray a blessing over everyone involved in those ministries and if you could pray over the city of Hong Kong, the local government, that wealth gap, and our church's role, the role of the church in being a city on a hill, helping Hong Kong be that light to China, revival within this city, this community. Let's spend some time praying about the activities tonight. There's a IP, intercessory prayer meeting. The college group will be meeting and the river. Praise and worship time. Okay, if we could pray for those within our community kind of fighting cancer in its various forms, going through chemo treatments. I think most of you know my own family is a good testament to the power of prayer, and you know, everyone on that board appreciates all of our prayers, so let's dig in. We also want to lift up, those of our relatives and friends who are suffering physical illnesses, but, more importantly, have a spiritual emptiness and they don't know and they don't have that relationship with our Father yet. So, pray for breakthroughs in getting to know God. We continue to pray for others in our community of faith who are suffering from various different sicknesses, infirmities, for speedy recovery and that they'd be made whole in the name of Jesus. Pray for those within our community looking for jobs. Praise God. Wow, look how short that list has come. Also, if there are others around you who might not be on this board, but that you know of, who are also looking for jobs, lift them up as well. Okay, well, continue to go forth this day in the name of God and enjoy some private prayer time now. Thank you. Okay.